2, 1.
All right, let's do this. Get set. Headed for the open
door. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. What an amazing week for runners out there, for people who are starting, for people who are training. Of course, we're kind of midway, a little more than midway now in the spring marathon season. And I know Michael Doyle's got a bunch of news that he's going to bring to us. At about quarter to the hour, we're going to talk about one of the big marathons that had some news regarding a DQ for the the actual winner. So
that kind of crazy stuff seems to be happening a lot lately. I love it. It makes for some great news.
It really does. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with Michael and a whole bunch of other news. Today, we're going to have really the debunking for Chris Uzinski and everyone else who doesn't understand OFSA, SWOFSA, track and field in grade school, high school.
I think a lot of people think they're all the same thing, to be really honest.
I don't know. So, you know, so I called our old friend Dave Rushinsky to come in, and we have a packed house today. So we're going to have Dave-O and a bunch of folks in. And really what we're going to do is we're going to find out everything anyone needs to know about track and field at the grade school, the high school, Southern Ontario, Ontario, Canadian, whatever. We just need to understand it, and then as parents, we can actually really enjoy it much more.
Well, it's always kind of cool when your kids come home and they tell you're going to OFSA or SWOSA if you kind of know what they're talking about without having to read the list that comes home with them.
Or you got a red ribbon, like let's just work our way through that. And so we're gonna spend from quarter after to about quarter two, working on that with them. But you know, one of the things that is coming up, and it's coming up a lot faster than I imagined, because we thought we'd have like a good month off, you know, between Le Chocolat, which is, you know, Running Flat's first event of the year, going to the Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon. Now, it has been sold out for a very, very long time. But the one thing I do recommend, because some people are feeling good, they want to run it, or they're just hearing about it, because we don't do a lot of marketing on that locally. Go to our Facebook page for Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon. That is the site where people trade bibs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, they've got an injury, or they ran a half, you know, earlier in the month, and they injured themselves.
Kane, you know what's interesting about that? Just so that people are kind of clear on it. You know, we talked a lot about banditing the other day. Just so people understand that, you know, you're not banditing if you actually go through and you actually switch the bib and the race director or someone is aware that you've kind of switched them off without just grabbing someone's bib and running and no one knowing who you are.
Yeah, Running Flat has a much different philosophy than most of the majors do. I find it a compliment when I'm on Craigslist or Kijiji and someone's trying to sell their bib. I go, look, they're selling our bibs. How great is that? We kind of view things a lot differently, and it's really more pro runner than pro organization. So if a runner comes to us and says, oh, you know, I can't make it, you know, we hurt ourselves, training's been terrible, doctor won't let us, or we're now pregnant, we get these emails all day long. Really what you want to do is go on Facebook and then trade the bib there, and then basically it's getting back in touch with us, and we'll make the name change. So but please do that, and for more information of that run and all the other runs, you can go to runningflat.com. Canada Day is coming up.
And now, we're going to soon find out who's going to be on that medal, right?
Soon. Next week, we'll announce whose head is on the medal.
Now, what were the two people it was between?
Three. There was Rick Mercer, a fine Canadian.
I don't know if I want to see his face on a medal.
Wayne Gretzky.
Nice.
And Terry Fox.
Those are three really great choices.
They're great Canadians.
Are you going to give us any hint as to who's now?
Nope. But what we will do is next week we will announce whose head is on that medal.
Now, how was it picked? With the most votes?
Yes. Yeah. So last year, when you do register, you register your vote as in who you want to see on the following year's medal. Mm-hmm. So we have like Laura Secord. You know, we have Captain Kangaroo. We have a whole host of different people, right? You know,
Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, great Canadians, right?
Absolutely. But it's just a choice I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. Or Friendly Giant, you know. So we, you know, Casey and Finnegan. So what we need to do is we need to be able to vote on all those people. We collect that data. We boil it down to the top three. And then when you're voting for the actual year, when you're registering for that year, mm-hmm. you get the additional vote.
That's a great idea. I like yeah. that.
So we'll announce it next week, and everybody will know, and it'll be awesome. Trust
when
me.
When I checked out the shirts for Pelee Island, those are nice with the big monarch on the front.
Very
yes, nice.
Yes, yes. We're celebrating the monarch since they didn't show up last year. We're hoping that maybe this will prompt them to come and visit us. You know, mm-hmm. that and all the milkweed that I'm growing in my yard back at home, you know, keeping my neighbors nice and happy. So the monarchs have some food for this summer. So that is really an event that we can talk more and more about it as it approaches, but it is really a very unique event. Michael Doyle from Canadian Running Magazine, he is the editor-in-chief. He will be running it mm-hmm. and doing a story
Pelee
about
Island?
It.
Island?
Yes.
Excellent.
And, you know, we also talking to a couple of travel magazines who are also looking at doing feature articles about this race because it's unique. It's, mm-hmm. it's a pure destination play. It's an island in the middle of Lake Erie that people fly to and they boat to and enjoy an entire weekend and enjoy that experience, which you have in the past.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned to you last year was I went and did the race. That was actually my first time I've ever been on the island, which is kind of sad. I've been in this area for, 20 years, and yeah. I didn't really realize what a cool little community it was over there. You know, it's a little different of a community, but I have to admit I thoroughly enjoyed the weekend. The race was amazing.
It's island living.
It totally is.
It's island living. That's all we can say. So Canada Day is open. Like I said, we're going to have we'll announce who's on the medal next week. And you also have a really cool LED armband is your giveaway this year. Rockne Anaphylaxis is mm-hmm. also open. We have Kiss and two other acts on the course. And that's during the Cork and Fork Festival. Really a unique event, right? Mm-hmm. We're using existing infrastructure from a festival and we're blending a fun run into it.
Which is kind of cool. You could bring the whole family, do the run, stick around, have some food.
And watch Kiss Destroyer.
Absolutely. That's a cool weekend right there.
Just rock out. And of course, Run for Heroes. Mm-hmm. Run for Heroes, we're really working right now with a lot of different expo folks who mm-hmm. can come and join us. So if you have suggestions out there, I know a lot of runners kind of write us emails either on Facebook or personally to myself or Carla. By all means, if you know of anyone who you think should be at the expo, we're always searching for new products, new companies, folks who are in the health and wellness industry as well to be a part of that. And it's just one of those things that we're always trying to bring something new and innovative to what we do.
Well, and these expos are amazing, too, because a lot of, especially first-time runners, they come to these expos, and a lot of them are dying to spend some money. They want to buy a new pair of shoes. They want to buy some gear. And so, really, it's kind of silly that more local businesses aren't putting their stuff in there and taking advantage of it. Because I know myself, as a woman, I love spending money at the expos because there's deals everywhere.
Absolutely. And one thing we didn't mention was that we did announce this week that we have an official restaurant on Pelee Island. Scudder's is our official restaurant.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So
I think we visited that last year.
I think you guys visited them all last year.
I think we did.
Absolutely. So when we come back, we're going to debunk, for those of us who don't understand track and field, everything we need to know about track and field. And if you have any questions of your own, you can join us on Facebook through the Running Flat Radio page and put your questions up there. So we'll be right back. You're listening to AM 800 and Running Flat Radio.
Wondering if a Lincoln is right for you? At the Discover Lincoln event, you'll find a combination of luxury features standard on the 2014 MKZ that aren't standard with the competition, like adaptive LED headlamps and push-button shift. Both standard, only Lincoln. Get a $1,000 Discovery bonus when you lease a 2014 MKZ or MKZ Hybrid from only $328 per month for 48 months at 0% APR with $5,699 down. The only thing you should be wondering is what time we open. Some conditions apply. For details, visit LincolnCanada.com.
Bite into something totally new at Subway restaurants. The Flatiza is a fresh out of the oven way to serve up your favorite flavor combinations. Try the classic pepperoni Flatiza or build your own. Start with the flatbread crust, then get it topped before your eyes with marinara sauce, your choice of meat, veggies, and cheese. And finally toast it up into a crispy square slice of delicious. New handcrafted flatizas made the way you say at Subway. Eat fresh. For limited time only at participating restaurants.
Desjardins member advantages for...
Olivia Johnson, will you please come to the Lost and Found? You forgot your Desjardins card, and every minute that you're not using it is a minute that you could be enjoying many of the exclusive advantages that come with being a Desjardins member. Olivia Johnson, your exclusive membership advantages are waiting for you. Olivia Johnson.
Being a Desjardins member comes with many exclusive advantages, discounts, cashbacks, and many other privileges at stores and institutions across Ontario. Visit Desjardins.com/advantages.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. We are still under severe thunderstorm watch. Tonight, a few showers with thunderstorms ending overnight. Risk of a severe thunderstorm tonight and after midnight, a low of 13. Tomorrow, cloudy, 60% chance of showers in the morning and afternoon. A few showers beginning late tomorrow afternoon, a risk of a thunderstorm at a high of 16. Wednesday night, showers with a risk of a thunderstorm, a low of 12. Thursday, showers and a high of 18. Once again, we remain under severe thunderstorm watch.
The Coors Light Brewing Company wants you to say yes to May 2 Farm. While you're at it, why not say yes to 15 cans of Coors Light for the price of 12? For those doing the math at home, that's three extra beers. That's what a baker calls 3/13 of a dozen. That's 1,065 mils of extra Coors Light. That's a 25% return on investment. And we're not even counting the cash from the empties. Coors Light. Who wants 15 cold ones for the price of 12? Available at the beer store for a limited time while supplies last.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. This is our show where we're going to debunk and talk about track and field locally, especially for the grade school and high schools. And we might even touch upon university and intercollegiate. So welcome, Dave Orshinsky. Dave O, as we affectionately call him. Dave O is, if you've been to a Running Flat event, he is the voice of Running Flat at the events. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Good to be here again. Thanks, Billy.
And in studio with us today is Nick Orshinsky, who goes to Tecumseh Vista, and he's in grade 10. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you.
And Maddie Rivlis, who also goes to Tecumseh Vista.
Thank you.
So Dave, for us, the parents, who know nothing about track and field, and all of a sudden our kids are having track day, and we're in the grade school level, let's talk about what they're in, and then what the events are, and where does it go from there?
Well, first of all, again, thanks for having us, because this is a really interesting topic. And track and field is really exciting if you embrace it and you get involved and you watch, because there's so many different events going on. And as you said, it all starts at the elementary level. And the elementary schools always do their traditional track day. And they get the whole school together, and they have a lot of different activities. Now, some of the activities aren't the standard activities that you would see on TV at the Olympics and whatnot, because it's all about participation. It's about getting kids involved in a lot of different things.
So no one's throwing a javelin?
Not at that level.
In grade four?
No, they're not. They might be doing a ball toss. There's some other things. And we also have to keep in mind that with your track and field, because it's run by your teachers, basically, tons of time goes in with the volunteer crew from the teachers. And a shout out and a thank you to all of them for the work that they do. And the reason I'm saying that is not only because my wife is a teacher and she organizes track day at her school, DM Eagle Public School, but because we see the work that goes into it. And this is where the kids like Maddie and Nick and all the other ones get their start to go up to the next level, which is when they graduate out of elementary school. And then they get a little bit more serious and they try some events at high school. So back to elementary school, and I'm sure Maddie and Nick can tell you some of the events that they participated in, and we'll ask them right now. So, you know, Maddie, when you were in elementary school, what were a couple of events that you enjoyed on track and field day at your school?
The 800 was my favorite event because I just felt like that was what I was going to run for the rest of my life. But as I got into high school, I realized that wasn't really the case. But in elementary, it was what I enjoyed, and it was what I always did every year.
Okay, so you sound extremely serious. Did you not have any fun with the elementary track? They did, were there some other activities that you tried just because you wanted to do something different?
I did ball throw and I did jumps of events too, but I just did them for fun because I knew that they would just be fun and they would make my day more fun.
Excellent. Now, what about that day when you have your parents and other parents watching you? Were you nervous when you'd line up for the 800?
Yes, I'm always nervous because I don't know how I'm going to do, but I know inside that hopefully I'll do well, but just it's that doubt inside you.
Did you have any special way that you kind of prepped yourself and got ready to get out there and run?
Just listening to music sometimes, or just kind of getting your head in that and not really thinking about anything else.
Very good.
So let's bring Nick into the conversation. Nick, when you were in elementary school, you did some running events, but you also did some different things as well too.
Yeah, I did a few of the running events. I did the 15, 800, the 400. Then I also did the standing long jump from like grade 4 to grade 6. And the standing long jump kind of just helped other kids get used to jumping so that they could move on to running long jump when they got into high school.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. Sorry to just sort of take over for a second.
No, it's okay.
But you're...
It's a Devo show.
Well, no, the look you're giving me, they're talking about 800 and 1500. That means meters. Mm-hmm. So it's a distance around a track, and every school has a track that's hopefully a standard size.
Every school has a track day?
Well, most of them, maybe not Malden Central or some of the other ones, but they can always build one with some fundraising and whatnot.
Now, what was your favorite, Nick? What was your favorite event?
My favorite event was probably the 800 too. It's just like you're really nervous before a race, but then once you get going, it's just a lot of fun to like be in that race, especially when you have that last lap. Like you're full of adrenaline and it's just like a really big rush.
Don't you get freaked out? Like I run like crazy, but to be in an area where people are in the stands on the side and they're just watching me, I think I'd be really nervous. Are you nervous when you're out there doing it?
Well, you get nervous, but I think it's more like you're excited more than you are nervous, just because you want to like go out there and just it's really just about enjoying yourself and having a good time, and you just do your best.
Now that you guys are in high school, do both of you guys still do the 800? Maddie, you said you?
I don't do the 800 anymore. Oh. I've gone to longer distances, 3,000, because I found that the 8 wasn't really what I was meant to do. But so.
But you like the 3,000?
Yes, the 3,000 is my favorite.
And how are you doing with it? Pretty good?
Pretty good.
So let's go back to elementary school. So the elementary school has how many events that you typically do in track? Your track days that you have at the school itself?
Well, you have your standard 1,500 meter, 800, 400, 200, 100, but then you also have your running long jump and your standing long jump, and then like those are your track events. And on the side, they'll do like a ball toss or just like other fun events just to get people like ready for their track events. Like sometimes they do obstacle courses and like basketball throw and stuff.
Right. So each school in the elementary system has a day where they do that. So this just happens to be the week that many of them are doing that.
And is it the whole school, like kindergarten right up?
It's usually grade 3 forward, grade 3 or 4, and then they move up from there. Sometimes it includes some of the younger kids with a couple smaller activities, but not as many as they do with all the other ones as well.
So where do we go from here after this week? When we actually do get all these events and we have winners, now where do we go?
So a certain number of the participants who've qualified will now go on to a regional competition, which will be held maybe at certain local high schools around the area, where 8 or 10 schools will all come together for that competition. And then again, some of the higher finishers out of that will go to a district competition, where again they'll recognize some of the top performances as well.
So, and typically it's county schools that all get together. So let's talk about Essex County. We'll get into specifics here. So they go to Sandwich or they go to Essex for the regional?
They will use both those facilities. Right. They'll use Leamington High School sometimes as well. It's based on who's got a fairly large facility, good seating and whatnot. And most of the times it's small schools and large schools coming separately because you have schools with different populations.
Right.
So you try to bring your small ones together so the competition is a little bit more even, and then you bring your large schools together at different sites as well.
And then what happens after that regional competition? Is there anything above that?
Well, the district is the next level, and then that's sort of the end right there. And
then to go to district, you have to be what, one or two? Top two.
Okay. And then that's basically the end of the season as it is for the elementary schools. But then you've got a lot of kids who might want to continue on at a club level, which means they go and join one of the two clubs that's in the area, such as the University of Windsor Alumni Track and Field Club or the Windsor and Legion Track and Field Club as well, too. So, and that's where they get some specialized coaching, and they can go outside of the area and participate in some meets. And I think Maddie is a member of one of those clubs as well.
Yes, I'm a member of Windsor Legion, and in elementary school I would do that. It was called spring prep, and you would go maybe twice a week and just train. And I don't remember if there was a meet, but I think there was, that you could go to and compete against people from around the province rather than just in your city, okay. County.
Awesome. So now that's grade school. Now what happens in high school?
Everything gets weird. No, I'm just kidding. In high school, a lot of the more traditional distances come into play. I'll let Maddie and Nick talk about the distances, but now it becomes a little bit more serious. The practices are 4 and 5 times a week. And again, they're getting ready for a number of prep meets or exhibition meets. I think there were 3 or 4 this year that were all held out at Sandwich High School, I think. And then today was the first day of the sort of the local area championships called WEXA, which is the Windsor Essex County Secondary School Athletic Association. So that's where they all come together for 3 days and all the schools come together and participate. But maybe Maddie and Nick can talk more about the types of events now, because you are now getting into your javelin and your high jump and some of those other things that you can't do in elementary school for obvious reasons.
And even hurdles, right? I know a lot of high school students really enjoy the hurdles.
But before we do that, we'll take a break. And after that, we'll actually come back and we'll talk about what happens at the high school level and then where the high school students go. And then where do all the NCAA scouts come from? So we'll do that. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Drive around and plan around.
I just like to know what's going on around me.
AM 800 CKLW. The information station. We're always around.
Sales usually come with big percentages. 25%, 50, 75. But here it's as small as it can be. 0%. That's 0% financing for 36 months on Dodge Grand Caravan and Dodge Dart. Grand Caravan starts at just $19,995, with up to $10,000 in total discounts. And Dart is the most technologically advanced compact car anywhere. The Smart Choice Sales Event. See your Dodge retailer for details.
The number one morning show. The Morning Drive.
We are good to go.
Mike K. Cook and Lisa Williams.
On the next show, we all do some silly things as drivers. Forget where we've parked or driven the wrong way down a one-way street. What have you done? At 6:20, we ask, what's the dumbest thing you've done as a driver?
And if you want to head over to the Chevrolet Detroit Belle Isle Grand Prix later this month, try to guess the impossible question at 7:50. If you answer it correctly, you can win a pair of weekend tickets.
The Morning Drive. Weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
A gas station fire in Windsor today caused $125,000 in damage. The blaze at 1110 Tecumseh Road East was started by a lightning strike to the building's electrical supply. The fire was kept from the gas pumps. Nobody was hurt. The cause of a senior's drowning in Windsor yesterday afternoon is being listed as accidental. The 78-year-old man was found unresponsive in the pool at 80 Knox by lifeguards around 4 p.m. And a severely injured 7-month-old puppy at the Windsor Essex Humane Society may need some help finding a new home out of province. Earlier this month, the puppy named Coco arrived at the Humane Society with a broken back leg and will have surgery soon. The dog could be a banned breed, and DNA testing is being done. AM 800 Sports, the Tigers are in Baltimore again tonight. Right now, the O's up 1-0, top of the second. Jays are home to the Indians for their series opener. Scoreless bottom of the second there. The Penguins and Rangers are playing Game 7 of their Stanley Cup quarterfinals tonight, and it is the Rangers up 1-0 in the first. From the AM 800 Weather Center, we are back under a severe thunderstorm watch. The warning is over. Tonight, a few showers with thunderstorms ending overnight. Risk of a severe thunderstorm tonight and after midnight, a low of 13. Once again, we are back under a severe thunderstorm watch. That's because the warning is over. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 23 Celsius. That is 73 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio, and just before we actually get back to our feature interview with Dave-O, what I wanted to do is I wanted to do Song of the Week, but I wanted to go old school on this one, and I wanted to go with Ministry, because it's on my running mix, and it's Stigmata. Only time you'll ever hear Ministry on AM 800 CKLW.
I haven't heard that song in years.
Awesome, thanks. That was awesome. In studio with us, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. We're actually kind of going through grade school and high school track and field, all the events, where the kids kind of, where it all escalates. We're just getting to high school. Dave O is in the studio with us. Dave Rashinsky, his son Nick, and also Matty Rivelis. From Tecumseh school, can we now talk about high school and I guess it'd be high school gym that they actually take some of the track and field up?
Yeah, they get exposed. The kids get exposed to some of it in gym class. They have to run a mile and do some other things and whatnot. And then a lot of the kids though are already coming in with a track and field interest or some experience from their elementary days as well. And when the time comes, they all have to sign up for track and field. That's when the coaches come on board and start to look at the different kids and say, well, you know what, son or daughter, I think maybe you're best suited for this event as opposed to that event. And they retrain them and they find events that suit the kids and their interest a little bit better.
I think what I find really interesting with that is, and I'm sure Maddie and Matt will both agree, in elementary school, you know, you did your track events, you know, you really didn't lose any sleep over it. You maybe didn't even put any extra practice time in. But once you hit high school, it's like the big leagues, right? You're out there. Is that correct? You're kind of putting some extra training in for those days?
Yes, you practice nearly every day, usually five, six times a week. And then pretty much that's all you're thinking about when the meet comes along. You eat for it. You sleep for it. That's just what you do.
That's very cool. That's a lot of stress for you too, though, right?
Yes.
You have to really, I think in high school, you have to really, really like the sport, right?
Yes.
So Dave, let's talk about what happens at high school meets, and then the elevation there. And what events are we actually talking about now?
Well, there's a lot of events, and I think I'll turn it right back over to Nick and Maddie, and they can talk about some of the field events and some of the track events, because you've now taken your track events and you've broken down into categories. You have sprints and middle distance and long distance, and I know, Kelly, you're a fan of long distance racing, mm-hmm. but there's also some speed components as well. And then there's a lot of events that sort of go on that sometimes you don't see. It's almost when you're at a track meet, there are two events going on at one time. Your track events are forefront because the track is right up front and that's where the bleachers usually are. But oftentimes behind or further away is where you have your field events going on. And the field events don't get recognized as much as they should sometimes. But there's a lot of athletes out there that train just as hard as Maddie talked about, 4, 5, 6 days a week. And they're doing their thing, but it's just a field-related event. So maybe Maddie and Nick can just sort of review some of the different events right now for us.
On the track, there's usually the 100 meters, the 200 meters, 400 meters, 800 meters, 1500 meters. And then there's also hurdles, so 300-meter hurdles, 400-meter hurdles, 80-meter hurdles, 110-meter hurdles. And there's also relays, so 4x100-meter and 4x400-meter relays in high school.
That's a lot of running events.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
But hurdles is a very cool event. Do you do hurdles? I've often looked at that and thought, I'd love to give it a try with my coordination.
Well, that's an interesting story because Nick is traditionally a middle and long distance runner and has been injured for most of the season and has been driving his physio people crazy over at Pursuit Physiotherapy. He just cannot get well enough to do what he wants to do. So he went and tried hurdles this year for the very first time.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was an interesting experience.
Uh-oh, you have to expand on interesting.
Well, I've never done it before, but it never seems as hard as it really is. Like, you kind of think about it as just running and jumping, but there's like a lot of technique involved. If you jump too early, you're going to slow yourself down. If you jump too late, you could fall and hit a hurdle.
It almost seems like if your footing is off at all, you're done, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of people stutter step before mm-hmm. they hit the hurdles, and like that tends to make them slow down, or that could cause them just to crash into the hurdles.
Have you hit the hurdles before? That's gotta hurt.
I bashed my knee off of it the one time and it kind of hurt, but I mean, it's more, I think, if you hit it and then fall, there's always that chance you're going to get, like, roll into another lane and get spiked or just land wrong and hurt yourself more.
So both you guys have been doing track and field since elementary school, and now you're in high school. Are you looking at the future? Is this setting anything up for you for the future, or is it just kind of the high school level for you?
Hopefully I'll take it somewhere in the future, but hopefully it'll get me to a higher level. But even, I will continue to run after, such as like road races and things like that.
Enjoy it that much.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, what kind of time do you put in your training for hurdles?
I mean, there's a lot of training that goes into it. Mm-hmm. I didn't train that much for it. It was kind of like I jumped a hurdle and then the next day I'm just testing it out to see how it goes. But they do a lot of speed work and distance work just so they can like run their 300 or their 400 meters. And then, too, they're always working on their technique so that when they jump the hurdles, it doesn't slow them down at all.
So is this before school or after school?
After school. We usually practice for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Wow. And how much homework do you get a night?
Enough to make you want to pull your hair out sometimes.
I got some hair to pull out. Don't worry about it.
Now, Dave, with doing what you're doing, announcing a lot of these events, you must be able to, you know, in elementary school, you're seeing that one or two people that kind of stand out. Do you then notice it must be kind of exciting to see them get into high school and they're still the stars? Like, is that a common thing or do they kind of fizzle out when they get to high school?
Well, first to clarify, I don't do a lot of track announcing. I do a lot of cross country, road races, triathlons, all that sort of thing. The folks that volunteer their time and do the secondary school meets, they have a wonderful pile of volunteers. They have a great announcer, Dave Perpich, who does his thing out there. So a lot of times when I go to the meets, I get to sort of be a spectator with a lot of interest, but I see a lot of the same kids that we see at the cross country mm-hmm. and we see a lot of the kids that we see at some of the road races mm-hmm. and we see them progress, and it's really interesting to see them progress, and then all of a sudden scholarship opportunities start to come knocking and things of that nature. So it's really interesting to watch, and sometimes you even notice them in elementary school and you watch them make that whole progression all the way up to when they get their mm-hmm. letters of acceptance, and then they're signing their papers and they're going off on a scholarship. And a lot of them are, you know, some are U.S., some are Canadian. It doesn't matter, right. But it's a higher level.
Yeah. So what are the field events in high school? Can we go through those?
For field, you have your javelin, your discus, and your shot put. And then you also have jumping. Like, there's the high jump, the pole vault, running long jump, and triple jump.
And that's kind of an interesting story, Chris. No. Because I remember when I was in elementary school, which wasn't that long ago, we had high jump. High jump was part of, you know, our school track and field. I don't think they do it now in elementary school at all, do they?
No, they don't.
And let me ask you this. Does every high school in our region offer
pole vault?
Most high schools don't have like the proper equipment to like allow people to practice, but a lot of kids just go to the meets and try it out anyway for fun, just to see how it goes.
You know, Dave, this brings me up to a whole part of the topic that's a real sore spot with me, and that is the level of adequate tracks at schools within Essex County in the city of Windsor. And it's been a real sore spot with me, because it's no secret I live in the county. We go to a small county school where kids have to run around a school because there is no, not even a dirt track at it. But then even when we go to a regional meet, we go to either a high school that's in the middle of the county or one that's on the edge of the county, and both tracks are less than desirable to completely inadequate with, in regards to potholes breaking apart. I mean, I do travel quite a bit, and I see assets around the United States and in parts of Ontario, and it's been an issue that I've wanted to talk publicly about, and say, you know what, we are not giving our kids a fighting chance in track and field in this region because we don't have adequate tracks to actually put them on or take them to. I mean, University of Windsor's got a world-class facility, but we don't have a lot over and above that.
Well, you'll see with a lot of your local elementary schools, they'll have tracks that are just, they're older, they're not in the best of condition. Some of them don't even have tracks. So
right.
To harken back, but you know, DM Eagle, where my wife teaches, they don't have a track. They just practice on a pathway that is out in front of the school there. But it's adequate enough for what they need. But I understand what you're saying, that it would be nice all the schools have a nice track, but it all comes down to finances.
But not even one, I'm not saying every single school has to have a nice track, but I'm talking even regionally to have a decent track that we can use, because I'll tell you, let's look at the Amherstburg region. I mean, we don't have one.
Well, that's why a lot of times the meets will come together at one location, such as Sandwich High School, and I'm not familiar with too many of the elementary schools out that way and what they have, but a lot of the elementary schools don't have very good track facilities. So they practice where they can, they do their thing where they can, and then they come together for their meets on a nicer facility, and it is how it is at this point in time. Chris, you are such a troublemaker.
I need to stir the pot on this for a lot of reasons, and it's really so we can continually develop our kids and give them the chance to see, you know, that lifestyle of running and to be a part of track and field. You know, the Americans embrace it just as the Americans have embraced, you know, the large pools. Every municipality in the United States has, you know, a 50 meter pool. You know, and we're just starting to see that now in Southern Ontario with Windsor building a 50 meter. But we really need to be able to do the same with track and really kind of bring that along, because it's really tough to tell a kid to just run around the school four times and you'll be okay. And then when we bring them to a track in a track meet, they inevitably don't understand running between the lines.
That's true. Because if you haven't practiced on it, it's very foreign.
Right.
I think that's a future show for you.
But anyway, I digress. It's, you know what, it's a fascinating thing. So really quickly, can you give us the OFSA, SWOFSA, you know?
Okay, so what happens now is we're at the local level with our high school track and field meets right now called WEXA. It's a three-day meet, which ran into a bit of weather problem today, so it's been sort of reshuffled for tomorrow a little bit. It might be a longer day for people. The top eight competitors out of each event, out of this one, will go on to SWOSA, which is Southwestern Ontario. It's basically Tri-County, Lambton, Chatham-Kent, basically all get together for a two-day meet. And then the top, I believe it's five out of that, will go on to OFSA regionals. And there are two regionals, a West and an East regional. One of those days will be held down here, and I think the other one, I'm not sure where the other one is held. And then again, the top ones out of there, top four, is it, will go on to OFSA. OFSA's held every year. There's a bid submitted by a different municipality, and they'll go on to OFSA, and that's sort of like the championship for Ontario, the all-Ontario, if you will.
And hosted where, like Toronto?
It could be Toronto, it could be Sudbury, it could be Kitchener, it could be anywhere. It moves around every year. You put a bid in for it. It's a fantastic event to have. It is great for your economy, your hotels, your restaurants, and it just brings a ton of people in, and it brings the absolute top athletes in every one of these disciplines into your community.
In the high schools.
In the high school level.
Awesome. You know what, Maddie? Thank you very much for coming in. And Nick, you guys, good luck in your meets coming up. And Dave-O, as always, it's a great pleasure having you in. And thanks for clarifying this for all the parents and all the kids out there who are in the middle of this week and even just finding out that there's a track meet on Thursday because, you know, they didn't come home with the kids.
Dave,
just
are you going to be our announcer in Peely?
I don't believe so.
Anyway, you're listening to Running Flat Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Some men are born leaders.
There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to make a decision.
Some have leadership thrust upon them.
Everything came down to that moment.
And then there's Todd.
I'm going to run out of money come fall, and I don't want to go work.
So if there's Hill,
who wants to work the rest of their lives?
He's hoping to trip over some.
I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing.
The series premiere of Fool's Gold.
We got to get this gold, and that's the bottom line.
Tonight at 8 on Discovery.
Yeah, Todd sure knows how to give a speech.
It was a spring day like any other. All was quiet until something arrived. Something epic. Something totally sweet. Introducing Monster Deals from Cogeco. Starring a $0 HD recorder for 24 months and internet speeds of up to 10 megabits per second starting at $29.95 a month for 6 months. And you as you. All the deals are out now at cogeco.ca/monsterdeals. Conditions apply. Cogeco, how can we help you?
Experience the City Grill, a true city destination. With a delicious contemporary menu and a chic atmosphere, you'll make the City Grill your go-to this spring for lunch and dinner. The City Grill at 375 Olette in downtown Windsor.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. We are still under a severe thunderstorm watch. A few showers with thunderstorms ending overnight tonight. Risk of a severe thunderstorm tonight and after midnight, a low of 13. Cloudy tomorrow, 60% chance of showers in the morning and afternoon. A few showers beginning late tomorrow afternoon, a risk of a thunderstorm and a high of 16. Once again, we remain under a severe thunderstorm watch. Tonight, a few showers with thunderstorms ending overnight. A risk of a severe thunderstorm tonight and after midnight, a low of 13.
Relax. Your investments are safe, secure, and growing with Windsor Family Credit Union's guaranteed 2.5% interest rate on a 40-month term deposit. No risk to your principal. No guessing games. 2.5% guaranteed on a 40-month term deposit. Call Windsor Family Credit Union today at 519-974-3100 or visit wfcu.ca for details. Windsor Family Credit Union. Like a bank, only better.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. On our live line is our good friend from Canadian Running Magazine, and this is his theme. Do we have Michael's theme? Hang on a sec, Michael. Gonna make it official. I guess we're having a technical issue. I could sing it for you, Michael.
That'd be lovely. I'd love to hear that.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, welcome to Running Flat Radio. Michael is the editor-in-chief of Canadian Running Magazine. And what is in the news this week, my man?
What kinds of stuff? First things first, last weekend in Toronto, we had the biggest race, I guess it's the, other than Ottawa Race Weekend, the biggest single event in the running calendar, which is the Sporting Life 10K. You had 27,000 people blazing down Yonge Street in Toronto, taking over the city in the morning. And last year there was a bit of a...
And we just lost Michael. You know, it's funny, the sporting 10K, Corey Friedman is the race director, and I've known Corey for a number of years. She does a wonderful job. She's also a member of Running USA, and we usually get a chance to kind of catch up when we're at Running USA conferences. And she's the one that hosts the Toronto Women's Half Marathon. Mm-hmm. That's in, I think it's Hyde Park, I think it is. Okay. I can't remember the park that it's in. But she's the one who's the RD for that, and she'd take over for Jay Glassman, who was the former race director of this exact race. What Michael was alluding to was that there's been a number of issues in regards to chute pileup at the 10K, where people were actually stopping before the mats last year.
Oh, really?
And they had to wait like 20, 30 seconds to actually get across the timing mat. Correct. So there was a lot of complaints from that. And it was kind of well known out there that those were the issues. And Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
So we were just kind of going over, you know, that Corey's the new RD from Jay, and that to all accounts that I saw, that it was really kind of flawless in the execution. There wasn't people waiting, you know, to actually get across the finish line.
Michael. Yeah, it was pretty impressive what she did. I mean, she'd previously only ever handled a race of maximum about 2,500 people, and she came in there and took over a huge event with a lot of moving parts and a point-to-point race, which basically means, you know, it starts at one end, finishes at the other, so you have two separate teams to work with. And it sounds like she did a great job because everyone was pretty excited.
Michael, why does that race get that many people? That's a huge number for a 10K.
Young Street.
Yeah,
you know, I think it works. It kind of operates in the same way that the Sun Run does out in Vancouver, where it gets 50,000 people, where it's a bucket list event. It's a 10K. It's something people can wrap their head around, but it's still a big achievement. I think a lot of runners do it just once a year. That's the race that they do every year, see if they can beat their sporting lifetime every year. And it also comes around Mother's Day every year, so you get a lot of families running together as well.
But there's an odd history to this race in regards to Alan Brooks and yeah. Jay, and then there's a competing 10K now.
That's right.
That's been born of this conflict. And of course, then the mayor of Toronto is, I don't want to say he's an anti-runner guy, you know, he seems like an anti-runner guy, but you know, even what he did with the marathons by forcing them onto same weekends and pushing one into the fall. I mean, there's a long history of major issues in Toronto regarding runs.
Yeah, absolutely. Toronto is a city that has an unusual relationship to running. The running community and the city itself and the mayor's office has always been, I think maybe, I don't want to use the word at odds, but there's always been it's always been a challenge to get events going in the city. I mean, Toronto's a big city. There's several million people and people don't want to, you know, have their you know, morning drive interrupted on Sunday morning for a race. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of politics around these events over the years, and I just hope that in the future we can get the mayor's office on board and for events, because ultimately they're great events for the community. They raise millions of dollars. The sporting event raised over $2 million for Camp Ooch, which is for kids with cancer. So I mean, and that event is the fundraiser for that camp. I mean, that's how that camp exists, is that event. So
wow.
it's an important event, yeah.
It's amazing. And then there were some issues regarding a California marathon over the weekend.
Oh, this is a strange one. Out in the Orange County Marathon. OC.
Gary,
the OC Marathon.
Gary's the race director down there. Great guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good event, you know. It's a very well-organized event. They have a pretty substantial purse for winning the event. I think the winner won $4,000 U.S. And so this guy, Mohamed Fadil from Morocco, who won the race, he smashed the course record, 2:21, pretty solid time. And then it surfaces a couple of days later that there's this video taken by the second-place runner's brother of Fadil, the leader, the guy who won the race, getting all this on-course help. He's getting paced by a friend on a bike. He's getting water bottles where, you know, from the guy. He's getting all kinds of help. So they disqualify him, and they give the second-place runner, Stephen Shea, the win, which is pretty nuts. But it is against the rules. You know, not a lot of people know this. Us recreational runners in the middle and the back of the pack probably don't think about this, but you cannot get help from your friend on a bike, technically speaking, if you want to win a race. So it was a pretty odd scenario for a marathon.
That is really odd. And you know what? I never liked these shoes when they came out, but there's the whole Vibram issue that really kind of boiled over through a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, it was a class action lawsuit that was filed a couple of years ago, and Vibram, the company that makes those toe shoes, the five-finger minimalist running shoes, they decided to just settle. They're not going to go to court over it, and they're cutting a check for almost $4 million, where they're basically, if you bought a pair of these shoes since 2009, you'll be able to go to a spot on their website at some point in the near future and apply for a check for, I think it's about $94 per person. I guess they realize that it's just not a battle that they're going to win. And it's just surrounding the idea that they claimed at one point, I think about 2009, the height of this craze, that their shoes would strengthen the muscles in your feet and make you a stronger, healthier runner. And I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, clinically they couldn't prove it. I mean, they made a claim, right, and there was absolutely no scientific backup, so they were taking a task on it. So now they're paying it out.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we've also seen the downturn in that market as well.
The minimalist?
Minimalist trend is now, I guess you could say, officially over. we still had quite a few people on our site. I mean, that story got more traffic on our website than maybe any story ever before. People feel passionately one way or another about those shoes, and we had a lot of people coming to their defense on our website and on Facebook and on Twitter. So there's still a lot of people that really believe it.
Yeah, because right now we're in the Maximus revolution, right? I mean, everyone's going to the Hoka what am I wearing right now? I'm wearing the New Balance foams, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's all about cushion and comfort right now, right?
Yeah, we sort of, the pendulum swings hard in both directions, I guess. And I guess we're now in, I think a maximalist movement would be what you would call it. But I personally, I mean, I've tried all of these shoes. I've tried everything. I personally test every single shoe that we get into the office that goes into the magazine. So, which makes for some interesting runs. And I think it's really about what works for you, and and you've got to figure that out, and that's different for every person. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have very efficient gaits that are very light on their feet, that are on their 4 feet, and they can pull off the five fingers no problem. So it's just whatever works for you.
Brother, I am not one of those people, I can assure you of that.
And
on that note, Michael, thank you very much for joining us. And Michael Doyle's from Canadian Running Magazine, which is available at all fine bookstores and, of course, online. And buy a subscription, because it's a great magazine. You've been listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. Thank you, Kelly, very much for joining us. Dave O, thank you very much as well for joining us and explaining what happens in grade school and high school track and field. You are listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. Keep running.